Garden Center, where the Kings tonight take on the Phoenix Suns. And we're going to honor Chris Webber, who right now is on the video board. He spoke with the media today. He's in town, of course, to say hi to everybody and to promote his new memoir. He's going to be here tonight. He's going to be at Oak Park tomorrow. He's going to be at the Rivercats game tomorrow. And he's going to be back here on Sunday. Before we get to anything else, though, my apologies to you, Drapes. My apologies to A's fans. Thank you, Jay. The A's were victorious yesterday.
They won yesterday, huh?
Yeah, so my apologies. Yeah, they're 5-8.
5-8. That's same record as the Giants. Giants are 5-8 also. It's golfing with an A's fan, and they made made sure to point that out.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, yeah, we got the same record as the Giants.
Yeah, well, I was mistaken, okay. And I apologize.
You're human, man. You know, you're not perfect. You know, I know some people think you are. You're loyal listeners and everything, but you're human. It's all good.
Can I get your views on that? Do you think the A's, what are the chances the A's end up becoming permanently the Sacramento A's? You have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think a high percentage. I said it last week, fellas, and I think it was with you, White. Vivek is a sharp individual. And if you don't think what I would say this, I think, and, you know, we're all captive of social media. I think a lot of people on social media, you know, because of the feelings and emotions were high, a lot of people were talking bad about what was going on with Sacramento Kings, you know, company and Vivek. But you can't tell me Vivek hasn't had these conversations with John Fisher and Dave Cavill about, if something goes awry, I want to be in the bidding war with probably Mr. Lacob. I really think there's a decent percentage. I don't know where we want to put that right now. I know, you know, as you said, Drace, we might be putting the cart before the horse. But I'm going to tell you like this, fellas, the horse is bucking. The horse he's out of the stable. He's bucking. He has, we probably have already, you know, mounted him. And we're, you know, in one of those little stables where you kind of roll around, you know, trot around inside the little pieces of wood. I don't know what that's called. But, you know, we're trotting around right now.
Dang, we're that close to it, huh?
Yeah. Well, when I first heard about it, the whole thing, it just seemed like this isn't quite what it looks like it is on the surface. But if you look at it from that standpoint, I think it makes a ton of sense that's something that is a possibility that people are talking about and working on.
No, for sure. I mean, and even if it's...
Because you talked to somebody last night.
Oh, I talked to somebody last night.
You just can't tell us.
Right. But, you know, even if it hasn't been verbalized, come on, man. You got, like, if we're thinking that, they got to be thinking that, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's... we have no allegiances to Vegas. Don't want to make this a Vegas Sacramento thing, but we're rooting for that to fail, right? Like we're rooting.
It's already failed.
It's oh shoot.
It has. It's already a failure. Yeah. Based on some of the things I've heard from some people in Vegas.
Wow, you got some context too?
No,
you got
I'm just about the people on Twitter. Like
people on Twitter.
I literally got one tweet, you know, about the A's thing and how bad I feel for Oakland, and somebody tweeted me, "Shut up." It's like that's you can't delete your account if that's the best you got, right?
Shut up.
Shut up. Like, oh, come on. You're better than that. We all gotta be better than that. One of the things Jay has been saying for a long time, we've said it a million times. Yeah. If this season for the Kings had come last year, and you know, last year had come this year, everything would seem great, right? It'd be like, oh man, they made the play in, and then the next year, they had the great year. It's just so tough. Last year was such a tough act to follow. With the beam and with the break in the drought and with the clutch player of the year and with the coach of the year and with two guys all league. That was a tough act to follow.
It was. And, you know, and I think actually in the whole scheme of things, they've done an admirable job because you bring back the same squad. Your offseason acquisitions don't really pan out. The Western Conference is more difficult this year, more top-heavy this year. And you got a chance to – almost match your win total from a season ago, maybe even have 47 wins, one short of that. And I think, you know, I know it feels like it's a down year or it's a disappointing year, but given all that, they've done a hell of a job, I think.
Yeah, so now you're in the play-in. Mm-hmm. Where do you finish in the play-in? We don't know, but it does make a difference. As you may know, crunching some numbers here, we've had the NBA current format of the play-in since 2021. So you look at the brief history of the play-in. Teams have finished seventh.
Yep.
They ended up as the seventh seed five times, as the eighth seed one time. They always advanced. To this point, the seventh seed has always gone into the playoff.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Five times as a seven, one time as the eight. The eighth seed has ended up as the seventh seed one time, as the eighth seed twice. Three times the eighth seed didn't get into the playoffs.
Three times the eighth seed didn't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The ninth seed has finished. The highest you could finish is, of course, eighth. Three times the ninth seed has ended up as the eighth seed. Three times the ninth seed has not.
So three and three.
Yes. And then the 10th seed has never advanced to the NBA playoffs.
So out of the six, let me do my math.
It's a little 12
opportunities, the 9 or 10 seed has only made it in three times, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
And so you got to stay out of that 9-10.
Yes.
With what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Based on the math. And
yes.
If I do the math
both
correct.
Both sample size, but still it's pretty
right.
clear.
It's pretty clear. That 9-10.
No bueno.
No bueno. Because then you got to win two games.
Yeah.
And it
especially
just doesn't
if you're
happen.
10, you got to win two road games.
Right. Two road games
uh-huh.
at that. And so, yeah, I don't want anything to do with that 9-10 matchup. Because think about it like this. We're talking about who we would want to face. Whether it's Phoenix, L.A., Golden State, you finish in that 9-10, you're going to have to face them twice. Like, you're going to have to go through Steph and then maybe have to go through LeBron just to get into the top eight, into the playoffs. And so I don't want any kind of smoke with those guys for two games. And like Anthony Slater said, you play Wednesday. You play Friday. Whip the freaking do. You get through and you got to go to Denver
yeah.
for a Sunday game.
Right, right.
Like, come
You're
on,
basically
man.
Down one
You're
game.
Down already. Yes, exactly. As soon as you get into that. And so it is critical we get a 7 or 8 seed.
Yeah, you win that first game. You got some time off even.
You got some time off. You know, win that Tuesday game. Now you can prepare for a Saturday playoff game.
But after what we've seen the last two games, is it fair – reasonable. Forget fair.
Right.
We're fans. It's all fair. Is it reasonable to expect that this Kings team, shorthanded as they are, can actually, like, can do that, can win this game, and then can beat the Trail Blazers? That should be doable, right?
That's definitely
tonight,
doable.
Of course, being the key.
Right, yeah. Tonight is the key. It's doable, but you need some help, too. You need the Suns to play like they did against the shorthanded Clippers team. Where Devin Booker only had one field goal. It's unlikely, but you need them to have an off night. How come we always got to be the ones with the off night? You know what I mean? How come Pelicans come in and they're not necessarily – they don't fire a whole lot of threes, but they made them against us. Like, why can't Phoenix come in and go 6 of 29 from three-point range today?
Yeah, I don't know. I think – wasn't Coach Brown talking about that? Not whining about it, but basically saying – be nice to get some breaks along the way.
Right.
Maybe the basketball god said, last year we gave you all a break.
Yeah.
You were going to
yeah.
get for a while.
Now you got to earn it.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
you got to go out there and earn
yeah.
it.
You know what really stinks is
what?
That Hollinger and all those guys before the season, remember they said, oh, the Kings won't be that good
yeah.
because they won't be healthy. And we said, oh, what do you know? And it turned out
and
they
sure
were
enough,
right.
They were right. Ah. Oh, I know. And you know as well as I do, injuries – are different at different points of the season.
Yeah.
Like, if we're missing Malik for 4 to 6 in October, November, okay, we can still rally. But to have two of our guys out in the most important part of the season, it's hard to overcome.
Yeah. But it sounds like Anthony Slater says, oh, if they can keep playing long enough, he'll be back at
right.
some
That's
point.
The way.
At
yeah.
At some point.
Exactly. I think if you do get into the playoffs, I look at the second week of the playoffs as a Malik Monk target date.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Tonight, there's a very good chance that this could be a bust-out night for Domas, because in that loss at Phoenix on the 13th of February, he had 35, 18, and 12 with 9 offensive rebounds, made 7 of 8 free throws. Now, the Kings lost that game 130 to 125, but that was one of those rare games where, you know, the two best players, Fox and Domas, both had huge games.
Yeah.
Fox had 40, and Domas was... like I said, 35, 18, and 12. And they still lost that game.
And they still lost that game. How'd they lose that game? Was that a Grayson Allen game? Or so? I haven't looked up the box score on that one. I don't think – because I think we've done a great job against Devin Booker so far this season. I feel like we've done a good job against him. It's been some of the others that I think that have really given us fits.
And not that you'd wish, you know, ill health on anybody, but not Devin Booker, but Grayson Allen, who didn't he have 9 threes in one of those games?
9 threes, yeah.
He's been hobbled. He didn't even start the last game.
I think he fell
and hurt his hip, and he's been hobbled a little bit. Royce O'Neal started the last game for them.
And remember, Royce O'Neal hit a big three against us last
time. Who hasn't?
Right, exactly.
Dante Exum, whatever.
Yes,
deadline.
See, but, you know, I go back to the trade deadline. Royce O'Neal, that was a guy we had talked about as potentially a target for the Kings. Well, he's paid dividends for the Phoenix Suns. Phoenix went out there and made some moves. I think when you look back at this season, Monty's inability to make moves, you know, it's probably one of the biggest, you know, missteps. And I know he tried, no doubt about it. It is what it is. But it seemed like everybody else was going for it and was able to do something, and we didn't pull anything off.
Yeah, that's how I've been feeling very strongly. That's where my frustration has been focused for the most part. But then we just had Anthony Slater on. You know, and Anthony Slater obviously follows us very closely. He said, well, so you could say that, but, you know, the prices for guys like Royce O'Neal, it was pretty heavy.
Yeah, but it was
a pretty heavy price tag for some of those guys. I think it was definitely a seller's market, as I recall. So some of those guys were going for more than Monty was willing to part with. Now, down the road, if you're able to convert those picks that you held on to worthwhile assets, then you win. We just won't know for a while. But I guess Anthony's point is, look, let's say you get Royce O'Neal, and then let's say Monk gets hurt. Are you really that much better right now?
Right.
Little better.
Yeah.
But you're worth giving up some future asset.
No, you're right.
I have a hard time understanding that, but it does make some sense. Emotionally, no.
No, right.
Intellectually, I'm working on it.
Get something done.
I'm working on it. Yeah.
I look at my boy Daniel Gafford and what he's doing out there in Dallas.
Oh, P.J. Washington.
P.J. How come we couldn't get in on guys like that? And I think that's why a lot of the fans want this. IT has walked onto the floor.
There he is.
I'm about to go down there.
Yeah.
Can I go down?
Yeah.
I'm going to go down. He's going to go through his warm-ups. I'm going to try to get him on after his warm-up.
Uh-huh.
Can I do that?
Well, you spotted him as soon as he came out.
I've been waiting for him. I knew he'd be one of the early guys. And so I'm about to go down there and holler at him.
Yeah. You want to do that right now?
I'm going to do that right now.
All right.
I'm going to do that. You can give the play-by-play of me going down there to holler at IT. Hold on.
All right.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going down. Hold on.
Isaiah Thomas has the ball in hand. He's just starting his little warm-up flips there. Looks like there's a couple of coaches out there. Yeah. We got the two headsets right on the end of the table. Kyle Draper's
like
going down there, and RJ set up. Yeah, RJ set up the table for us, Jay.
Shouts out to RJ, one of the best engineers in the game.
Yes. He got here early to make sure this was set up. We have two headsets down there, and if we can get Isaiah on, we will be able to hear Isaiah and Kyle, and it's going to be interesting to see how Kyle plays this. I should probably videotape this because he's got to be kind of casual about it. And you know how players are, Jay. I wouldn't blame him if he's busy because right now he has started his pregame shots.
Sure,
he has started his pregame workout, so he may just be, you know, dude, I'm working.
Well, you know how
I
it goes.
Was spring training once.
Yeah, I was going. Go ahead. Please tell your story.
No, I was just going to say one time spring training. I didn't know what I was doing because I had just started, and so I wanted to get interviews with players, and Carney Lansford was in the dugout at Phoenix Stadium. So I was like, hey, Carney, he went in to tie a shoe. I'm like, hey, I'm from so-and-so. Do you think I could do an interview with you? And he goes, I got to take my headset off because he goes, I am working! And so I
that's a great Carney
okay,
Lansford.
I'm sorry. Yeah, and I got it. It's like, all right, I just didn't know. Okay, right now Drapes is down there. He's at the baseline here.
He's being seen.
Shooting 16-footers.
Yeah.
He walked by, and now he's sitting down.
Yes.
So he did the casual walk by. Yeah. And he's sitting down on the baseline.
That's the be seen. You know how this goes, Whitey, man. You've been married for a long time, and I would imagine you were able to, you know, meet your fantastic wife in some form or fashion, and you just had to get her, you know, get the look, right? Like, you had to get her attention from the jump, and so that's what Drapes is doing right now. He's probably being around the area. So when IT is going through his workout, he sees Drapes and he knows after. So he's probably already, you know, gave him the head nod.
He
probably
going to
dap him.
Yeah, he just got up, Jay.
Yeah.
He just got up and walked along the baseline.
See?
While Isaiah is shooting. And I think what Drapes is doing, he's walking along the sideline. He'll be a little closer to Isaiah, but I think he realizes that Isaiah's working. And so he doesn't want to interrupt his
shooting
drills. I think, yeah. And I think right now Drape's putting a headset on, so we may be able to hear him.
Okay.
He just walked past one headset. I'm not sure he knows where his headset is there. Here he goes. Yeah, that's the one, Drape's. Oh, put that one back down. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, he's looking at us now. there he is.
There you go.
Hey, what's up, guys? All right, I'm on now. You got me?
Yes, sir.
Are we on the air?
You're on the air.
So I just talked to IT.
Okay.
I said, dude, when are you going to come on the radio show, fam? He said, bro, you got to hit me up. I said, I don't have your number. At least I think I have his old number. I said, my producer, Jay, he been trying to get at you. He's like, yo, if you hit me up, I'll come on.
See?
And so that's exactly, I'm no lie.
See?
No lie. That's exactly what my guy is saying. So I'm going to let him go, you know, be respectful, let him go through his warm up, and then try to get a throw on the headset here. Now, RJ, we got two headsets, so I could do this one, and he could do that one?
Yes.
Yeah, other end of the table says visiting radio, but it's not. It's you.
It's me.
Okay.
That's what we do.
All right, yeah. So, it's good to see him out here. So, we chopped it up already. See, I think Jay been sandbagging, man.
When did you talk to him? Because I saw you walk along the baseline, and I didn't see you having words with him. Then I saw you walk back.
I was sitting down right there.
Oh, okay.
I'm not doing interrupt the warm-up.
Right.
And so I'm going to let him do his thing, you know. But,
he
was like, yo, you got to hit me up. And I said, I don't think I got his new number or whatever. And so he said, man, if you would have hit me up, I would have came on.
Wow.
You know?
Okay.
So I don't know. I think Jay out here is sandbagging or something. He's trying to pour salt into the game. I see how it is, Jay.
All right. So, we're waiting for Isaiah as in his warm-ups. Drace, we're supposed to talk to Tom Chambers here. Do you want to go ahead and talk to Tom Chambers and then still just hang tight on Isaiah Thomas?
And I can stay down here, right, and talk to Tom?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I believe so. Yeah, we'll do that. All right, we'll be right back. Tom Chambers. He's the Suns pre- and post-game analyst, and he was the All-Star Game MVP in 87. And he'll break down this matchup for us as Drapes waits for Isaiah Thomas to join us. Drive, guys, with a lot going on this Friday on Sacktown Sports. Gotta have faith. Isaiah Thomas have faith. That's why he's warming up right now back in the NBA as we get ready for the Kings and the Suns. Whitey Gleason, Kyle Draper on the floor, hoping to get a chance to chat with Isaiah Thomas.
IT? Oh, yeah. I've already chopped it up, man. I'm being respectful, though. See, Whitey, I'm not one of those media members that just barge in. The dude's at his job. He's working on his craft right now.
So I understand that, yeah.
He's done. I'll go holler at him, chop it up.
Right now, nice enough to join us, Suns pre- and post-game analyst. He was an outstanding NBA player, 16 years in the league. Of course, probably best known for being the All-Star Game MVP in 1987. The great Tom Chambers with us. Tom, thanks so much for your time. We know the Suns had a bad loss this week, but they've won 8 of 12. Where are the Suns heading into this crucial game against the Kings tonight?
That's a $300 million question. I mean, where they're at is right where they're right where the Kings are. I mean, both teams need a win, and it's gonna be a battle. I mean, these two teams always go at it. I mean, it's like we clash the Titans. So I expect the Suns to come out and play well, but they've been a mixed bag. I mean, one night it's terrific, and then the next night they lose to somebody that should never happen. So it's been tough.
Hey, Tom, Kyle Draper here, man. How would you gauge the mood of the fan base there? Because, you know, obviously, you know, here in Sacramento, there were high hopes, high expectations, and there's some frustrations being echoed from the fan base. And I've maintained, well, they're probably having the same discussions in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, in Phoenix. What's the mood of the fan base down there?
Oh, they're frustrated. I mean, they're confused at times. I mean, this team is, you know, they're down 35 points in the first quarter and then they almost come back and win the basketball game. So what are you going to get, you know? And it is frustrating. There's been some bad moments. The fans have, you know, calling for the coach's head or saying that KD's not doing this or, you know, whatever's not doing that. So it's been I mean, it's surprising to say the least, not from the fans, but just the play of the Suns. You know, I mean, you just can't guess what's going to happen. And then the fourth quarters, I mean, that's just been the worst. Obviously, your team's good in the fourth quarter, and the Suns team has just been absolutely brutal in the fourth quarter.
Catching up with Tom Chambers. He was a four-time All-Star. He's a Suns analyst. Tom, what would you say the Kings do well that concerns the Suns the most about them heading into this matchup tonight?
Well, I mean, just Sabonis. I mean, he's always been a load. You know, he's a 20-20 guy, I think, every night against this Phoenix Suns team, plus 10 assists. And then Fox is so great in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, the same thing that the Kings pose to every other team. I watch the box scores. I don't see every night, you know, the frustrations you guys have had. When I see him play, it seems like, you know, everything's clicking pretty good. Obviously, a couple of key injuries to their strength, yeah, to their depth is really decimated them lately. But, you know, the Kings play the same way. They had the same rotation. They had the same guys doing what they did. So I thought they were poised to make a run, and then all of a sudden, you know, the injuries have really crippled them.
Hey, Tom, can you tell me about you guys' defense? You know, one of the things when I look at matchups, like we saw the Pelicans last night, you know, their perimeter defense really bottled us up. How about Phoenix's defense? I know you guys have elite offensive weapons. How's the defense been?
You know, it's been good in spurts. I mean, when the Suns play defense, oh, my gosh, they're unbeatable because, then you know, they're running downhill, they're fast breaking, nobody can get back into, you know, whatever they're going to set up defensively. They can't get back into zone. You know, it's hard to double-team Book if he's hot or has it going on. So they have to have a good defense. They understand that. Their communication, they're saying, has been a lot better. KD can play defense. Bradley Beal had 5 block shots the other night. You know, Devin Booker's an underrated defender, so they're there. And when Nurk is engaged on the inside, you know, he's pretty good too. So I like this Suns team. I like their defense, but it's just been so sporadic, you know, and then they can say, well, the injury is this and the injury is that. Well, you know, there hasn't been injuries for the past, what, 20 games, and they need to be dialed in. And you know, obviously the Kings do too. I mean, it's just been frustrating lately for them because, you know, you talk about the four teams that are right now out of the playoffs, well, in the play-in, I should say. Those four teams, I would have put the top six in the West. And there's four of those teams right down there when you're talking Golden State, the Lakers, Sacramento, and obviously the Suns now too.
Tom Chambers is with us, a former Sun. He was a great NBA player. He's now a Suns analyst. Grayson Allen has, to say the least, shot the ball pretty well against Kings so far this year. I think he had 9 threes in one game. Is he a little hobbled right now, Tom?
You know, he's had a hip. He's tough. He's going to play. But he doesn't look like he's moving quite as well as he had been. But he wants to be in every basketball game. But then again, that being said, which player isn't got an owie or a boo-boo right now? You know, everybody's dealing with something at this time of the season, you know. So it is tough, but, yeah, he's a tough kid. He's been a gamer, and yeah, he's had some good games against you guys, as he has against a lot of other teams. But lately, it hasn't been there for him as much. Even staying in front of people hasn't been as good. So, yeah, I would have to say that hip is bothering him.
Tom Chambers, enjoy the call tonight. Have a great call. We appreciate your time. And we hope to talk to you soon, sir. Thank you for your time.
Yep. All right, thanks, guys. Thank you.
Yep, thank you. Yeah, we're going to go onto the floor now. Kyle Draper is standing by. Does he have his headset on? Oh, he doesn't have his headset on, though. So he is right now talking to Isaiah Thomas.
Man, that was the quickest shoot around ever. I mean, did he even put a lather out there yet?
not much of one, but Drapes right now is chatting with him. And they're too far away for Drapes to be on mic here. And
sure.
My apologies to Tom Chambers for cutting him a little short. But I saw Drapes walking over to Isaiah Thomas, and he's trying to get him on now. And they're, as Drapes would say, they're chopping it up. So let's see. Drapes is walking towards the table, and Isaiah Thomas is following him. And so it appears that, yes, Isaiah Thomas waving to us. So we'll go courtside now. Yes, Kyle Draper, put on that headset.
It might be his guy.
We're good to go, Drapes. Yeah. We're good to go, Drapes. Yeah. Listening here is Isaiah with the headset. And if one of them would put their headsets on, we could actually. There we go. Hello, Isaiah Thomas. Can you hear us, sir?
Yeah, I can hear you.
IT, you got me? Yeah. Can you hear us?
Here we go.
Yep, yep.
How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Welcome back to SAC.
Are we done? We're on.
We on the air, bro?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm great.
First of all, man, I want to say you gave a shout out to pizza guys yesterday on Twitter. Did you get your pizza guy when you came back to SAC? You hit him up yet?
I didn't, but they're trying to make it happen. So maybe I can give the team some pizza guys after the game.
I feel you. Appreciate you coming back, man. What's it like just being back in SAC where it all started? You know, the love that you get wherever you go, too, especially now.
Man, it's amazing. Like, SAC was like my second home for a while. My first 3 years in the league, they welcomed me with open arms. It's like I grew up out here a little bit. My family loved it out here. Every time I come back to SAC, it's all love. So I appreciate the community, the organization, and everybody that, especially like that I know, you know, like we got a pass together. There's other people around here that we got a pass together as well. So it's always good to see those familiar folks.
Yeah, Isaiah, this is Kevin Gleason upstairs. Thank you so much for your time. I know you don't get as far as you've gotten by looking back, but that said, I know Coach Malone has talked about how things could have been different here with you and Rudy Gay, and because you guys were on to something. Do you ever look back at that and think, well, if management had made some different decisions, you guys might have been able to really build something special here in Sacramento?
You know, sometimes, especially when I was down and out. Like, when I was hurt, I was looking back on all that. So, obviously, we didn't win a lot of games, but we had a special group. Mike Malone was building something at that point. You know, you always look back and think about what if, especially with a guy like DeMarcus, a guy like Rudy Gay, and we were a young team at that point, just trying to find our way. But you know, things happen. You know, the game, the business of the game is you can't control that. So you can only control what you can, and that's going out there, giving it your all each and every day, and worrying about like staying in the present. And you know, but it's always good to look back at my time here, especially. You know, here, it was a lot of love here, and I grew up here.
You're beloved here. I mean, fans still, and they always will. They absolutely worship you.
And Boston, too. You know, hey, Boston, every year I feel like Boston, like, we should bring back IT. You see that love out there, though, right?
Always, man. Like, SAC and Boston are the places I stayed in the longest, and the community always shows me so much love, the fans, the organization. It's like I'm super thankful for all those moments because – those moments were great in my life.
Yeah, IT, you know, one of the things that I admire about you is unwavering belief in yourself. I know you had other opportunities overseas, TV jobs, but you kept on that slow grind that you say every day on social media. Where did that come from?
Just staying down. Like you said, I believe in myself to maybe an insane I don't know. I really believe in myself, and I know if I didn't believe in myself, I wouldn't have the career I had. I knew if I didn't stay down, I knew what my ultimate goal was. I knew I'm good enough to play in the league. I deserve to be in the league. I can still play at a high level. So that's what I was chasing and fighting for, is to be able to get my foot back in the league and where I belong. Like, obviously, like you said, I had offers overseas. I had TV offers. Like, those are all, like, I'm super appreciative for them, so I don't take them for granted, but I know I still got 2 or 3 or 4 years left in the league that I can still play and make an impact. Even if I don't play, I can make a positive winning impact each and every day on any organization that I'm a part of. So I'm super thankful for the Suns for giving me a chance and allowing me to be able to live out my dream of being in the NBA and playing in the NBA.
You got to take it easy on us tonight, though. We trying to get into the playoff. We trying to get that seventh seed, bro. You got to take it easy on us tonight.
Look, it's not personal, but we trying to do things, too. So I can't tell you if I'm going to take it easy or if we're going to take it easy on y'all. But hopefully it's a good game.
Isaiah, this is such a special moment for us because we've been obviously you've been very busy, very busy. We've been trying to get you on the show. And then when you're in the G League, we were trying to figure out, well, if he comes to Stockton, can we go down there? And then we figured out, you know, and you had the 10-day and we thought, oh, he might not be with the Suns when they come here. And so we're so happy that you're here and we had this opportunity. Thank you for gracing us with your presence. Can you speak? You've been with a lot of teams now. How special are the fans in Sacramento compared to fans now across the league, now that you have that perspective?
They're some of the top fans I've ever been around. Like, I mean, especially I haven't been in Sac when you got a good team, so I can only imagine how much better the fans are, if they can even get better. Like, Boston, it's hard to top Boston and everything legendary in that organization, but Sacramento Kings, like, if you ask anybody in the league, you know you come to SAC or you playing in California, period, you're going to see some purple and black. Mm. You're going to see some Kings gear each in any city in the state of California. And then once you step foot in Sacramento, it's like, you know, you're going to be in for it. Not just how good the team is, but the fans are crazy. So you being on the team, being on Sacramento, you love that. But being opposing, it's tough to play in here. It's tough to be in Sacramento.
IT, my last question for you, man. I was with you in Boston. You had two of the greatest seasons ever in Celtics history. We know about the championships, the banners, the legends. No matter what happens, they can't take that away from you. Describe that, and, you know, 20 years, 30 years, people are still going to be talking about your all-star seasons in Boston.
I mean, my name's cemented in there, whether I won a championship or not. Like, obviously, like, when I was in the moments.
Yeah, go ahead.
Obviously, when I was in those moments, I wasn't seeing how major, like, not just myself, but as a team, what we were doing until I stepped outside of those moments. So, you know, that's just hard work and dedication and just taking advantage of the opportunity. I was ready for that type of opportunity. And when I got traded to Boston, it organically happened. And I just took advantage of it.
It caught fire, too, bro. It happened. Woo.
Yeah. It was good memories, and it was good moments for me and my career and my family. And I can't thank the city of Boston enough. Like, you would think I won a few championships, even when the love I get on social media, the love I get when I go back to Boston, you would think we put some banners up. Yeah. But it was definitely some great moments, for sure.
Hey, Isaiah, we have been calling you were Brock Purdy before Brock Purdy, being the last player picked in the draft. Are you okay with that comparison if we say Isaiah was Brock Purdy before Brock Purdy was?
Yeah, we got to see how his career ends up.
Right. You know.
But, yeah, that's a good comparison. He's a hell of a player, and he's doing his thing. So we can have that connection for sure.
Go ahead, Jay. Go ahead. You want to get in the last one?
Yeah, I want to ask IT, you know, coming out of well, first of all, we got to get your order at Pizza Guys, because everybody knows you the Pizza Guys guy, but we never get what you order. You know, we don't know what's your favorite toppings. So before we let you go, we got to get that. But something I've always wanted to ask you, man, being, you know, real tough friends with Doug Christie, man, that's like one of my older brothers. The hierarchy of Seattle basketball, like, you know, Kent, University of Pacific Washington, like where you come out of, Nate Robinson. I mean, there's so many guys that have come out of Seattle. Like, where do you put yourself in the mix of that?
I'm one of the top, for sure. All respect to all the older guys that did it before me. They're my big brothers. Everybody from that city has been a mentor of mine, especially that's done it before me. So I'm going to always give them respect, but they know I'm right there with them. Whoever the top guy is, I'm right there looking eye to eye with them.
Isaiah Thomas, appreciate you, man. I've been trying to get a hold of you, man. You're like, Drapes, you text me. Look, I don't think you might have changed your number, fam. You changed your number.
I haven't changed anything but my jersey. My number's the same. I'm right. The same guy. I'm super consistent in life, so you know where to find me. I'm in the gym somewhere.
All right, appreciate
Thank you, Isaiah.
You already know.
Appreciate
Thank
it,
you
man.
Guys. Thank you.
My guy, Isaiah Thomas, man. Do your thing, nice. Baby. Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Drapes.
Yeah, that's good stuff right there. See? Yeah.
We still didn't get his pizza order, though. We didn't get his pizza order.
Oh, my bad, Jay. My bad, Jay. Darn, I cut him off.
Is IT a mushroom guy? You think IT would go with the bell peppers and Supreme? Or what is he? What is he doing?
Hold on, high flyer. IT, you a mushroom guy or no?
What,
on pizza. He didn't
get the pizza joint?
Straight pepperoni, baby. Straight.
Okay.
That's how we do it. We don't need all that Philly stuff. Straight pepperoni. That's what we do.
Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Drapes.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You, Jay.
I'm going to make my way back up.
Yes. Take your time. We'll take a little time out here. When we come back, we'll tell you how history has not been kind to the Suns. We'll visit the history of the Suns and the Wayback Machine next from the Gold One Center. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Kings and the Suns tonight, Gold One Center. History has not been kind to the Suns. Do you know the Suns, who came into the league in 68, they're the oldest existing NBA franchise to never win a title. The Suns are the team that's been around the longest without ever winning a title. They're the only franchise to lose three finals without ever winning one. And then 1969, after the first season, they lost a coin flip that would have brought them the rights to draft Lou Alcindor. So it's been kind of tough sledding for the Suns. Drapes has made it back upstairs. Thank you so much.
Can I get my props?
Could you go back down and do it with Chimezie Metu?
No, yeah. Oh, that's my guy. Chimezie is – oh, yeah, he's – that's my guy. Where's – you know.
But, oh, that was great. No, thank you.
Where's Jay at? Jay, get on the mic, big fella.
I ain't nobody running from you,
Jay,
brother. I'm right on here.
No, you duck in the smoke right now.
Ain't no smoke,
props,
baby. This a train around here.
Give me my props, big dog.
Of course.
I went up IT because Jay's been spinning it, ladies and gentlemen, at home and listening in the car driving around. Jay's been spinning it like, oh, man, the only reason he's not doing the interview is because it's with you, Drapes. And I'm like, nah, IT's my guy, man. Me and him been in the mud together. We were at the bottom and helped lead the Celtics back to prominence. And so, yeah, man. So,
well, what was Jay supposed to do, though? I mean, that's great. What he did is great.
All I'm doing is going off what he texted me.
No, he was a little he was hesitant at first. He gave me that side eye like, ooh, I don't know, man. But he bailed your boy out, man. So shout out,
man,
to
man. Shout
Isaiah
out
Thomas,
to
man.
That was good stuff too, fellas.
Yeah, yeah. How did you start? How did you, yeah.
How did I start?
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know how recently you've seen him. I know that you know him really well, so he recognized you. But how? See, we saw you from here go to the other side of the stanchion,
yeah.
And I couldn't see you, and I think that's when you were talking with him.
Yeah, I went up. First of all, you know me. My chest is out.
Yo, we saw that.
Tall.
Yeah, I have some video.
You know what I mean? I'm like, he's back in my building. This is my home court. No.
Yeah.
I just was super respectful. I'm like, what's up, IT? What's up, man? He's like, yo, what's up? What's up? I'm like, bro, I got to get you on this radio show. He's like, you ain't calling me. I was like, my boy Jay been hot trying to holler at you. He's like, you got to call me yourself. And I'm like, I don't have your number. And I think I may have his number. But yeah, and then you
said he changed his number,
right? New phone, who this, right?
I will say this though, Drapes, he did change his number. So I want to call IT out that way, but he did change his number.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
because it's been a minute since he was in Boston and everything, and the number I had, and so then he finished up, and I was like, yo, I gotta get you on this radio show. He's like, right now. I'm like, yeah, only a few minutes.
Yeah, is that when, like, I saw you're like pointing to him, like,
yeah,
over there,
I was like, just
there.
Right there. He's like, what are we going to talk about? I'm like, nah, man, just your journey back, being back in SAC, and so that's what we do here, though, on our station, man. We get the legends that come through. Isaiah Thomas, we haven't heard from IT publicly in a minute.
Yeah, the thing about this show, we don't just talk about things that are happening. We make things happen
exactly
that then people can talk about.
And think about this. And RJ and Jay, we've been talking about our broadcast location is fine. But if we were down there closer to the court,
oh, man.
Shoot.
Yeah.
LeBron, Durant tonight, Booker, we'd have everybody. But we're up here, you know?
Yeah, but
in the catacombs.
Hey, Jaylen Brown. Like, right. We're doing a show.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, or we'd get kicked out in two shows. One or the other. I don't
know. That's possible, too.
Yeah. Hey, I want to give a shout-out to RJ, though, for making that all happen, setting it up, the engineering side of things, you know. It was smooth, man. It was good stuff.
IT picked up right away when I called. I don't know.
Jay wants to get into the IT pizza question.
Come on,
also,
man.
Look at the most, we'll get into that. And the most encouraging thing about last night's loss, was there anything encouraging about it when we come back to the Golden 1 Center on a special day here for us and for the Kings and for Kings fans on Sactown Sports?